Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Emma Bennett. Emma is the aesthetic educator and SEL coordinator at Kalamazoo Country Day School in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Emma, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Janet. It's a pleasure.
Tell everybody a little bit, Emma, about your role and Kalamazoo Country Day School.
My role is aesthetic education and social emotional learning coordinator. And many people say, aesthetic education? What's that?
What is that? Yes, please tell us what that is.
Great question. So it is educational pedagogy for the arts. So what we do is prepare every child, and it even works for adults too, on how to meet a work of art. So when we go and see a performance or a play or a musical theater, whatever we go and see, go to an art gallery, me and my team, and we work with a local organization that has artists that come in, and we work together to plan lessons for the children so that they have experienced an aspect of the work of art. They haven't seen it first, but they're having lessons where they make connections. And when they go and see the work of art, they truly meet the work of art. So an example is we went to see a jazz performance with kindergarten through fourth grade. And those students got to work with a music teacher. So they got to learn all about the jazz instruments. I read them stories. We looked at the culture of Louisiana, the birthplace of jazz. We looked at all right. the greats, Louis Armstrong. They listened to music, they played music, they drew instruments, they turned their bodies into instruments. So when actually got to the performance and they saw the jazz musicians on stage, they knew what it was like to be a saxophonist. They knew what it was like to play the piano. They knew what it was like to play together. That's what's important. It's tricky to play together and be part of an ensemble. So they've had that experience. So they're truly meeting it rather than just taking children to go and see a jazz performance and having them be a little confused or not engaged because it's not their kind of music. You know, when you've been a saxophone, then you're happy to see a saxophone.
Right. Yeah. And how exciting that is for them to be able to experience it, having knowledge, you know, having a little bit of knowledge of something before you see it. Makes it even more real, I think, and that's amazing. So how did this come about? How did you get into this role, and how did this become a part of Kalamazoo Country Day School?
Well, I have worked here for 5 years now, and we didn't have anything like this when I joined. And then I managed to make a connection with our local Education for the Arts through KRESA. And we had some artists come in, and I just saw it as an opportunity to really partner with the artists. Some teachers perhaps take it as a moment to step back and have a break, but I just thought it was a really great way to partner, work with the artists, and really make the most out of this for the children. And then do extension work when the artist might come in for 4 sessions. So we do extension work beyond that to really get the children integrated in. And social emotional plays into this because it takes a lot of courage to stand up and play a character that's completely new to you, or to try and play an instrument. A lot of children these days don't want to fail. They want to just keep going forward and seem like they know everything and they can do everything. So for those children, it's really great for them to be a different character. And also in today's fast-paced video game society that many children are part of, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, but it's nice for them to step back and have a real moment to turn their body into an instrument. Or for the older children, say grades 4 through 8, we don't get them to do that, but they get to play instruments together, or they get to act a play together, or they get to make props for a play that they're going to act in. So they're really getting hands-on painting, visual arts, it's all of the arts, and the social emotional aspect of taking turns, being a leader, working together, understanding how to cooperate with your peer group, that really comes into it too.
Yeah, I'm a speech language pathologist. I don't know if I told you that before we started, but the language of music too is, I'm sure, something, or the arts, is something that you're teaching them as well. So there's vocabulary that's being introduced as well, and understanding those words. And when someone, you know, aesthetics education, you know, it's like when I saw your name and looked at what you did, I'm like, I'm excited to see what she does, because I don't know that word very, I mean, I know what aesthetics is, but not in this, in this context. So Teaching them that piece of it and having it be a part of something that is, that has value. I think we value things more when we understand it. And yeah, so go ahead.
No, absolutely. And you know, my mission for all the children is to take this beyond my classroom, so that they can go out into their life outside of school. And, you know, we have eighth graders that are just about to graduate. When those eighth graders can go out into the high school, that they'll take these concepts and this pedagogy with them, and really appreciate the arts and appreciate the world around them aesthetically. You know, they look at things differently because of the way it's been introduced to them. They look at colors differently. They look at shapes differently. And it also promotes critical thinking, you know, that it's not just we're copying a Van Gogh sunflowers, you know, we're being a sunflower, what sunflower smells like, and what happens to a sunflower when it dies, does it stay the same color? So it's all these, what if, curiosity, asking questions, and promoting this critical thinking. And, you know, there's five ways to get to the answer, as opposed to just, this is how it is and this is my way and you're going to learn my way. So 10 ways, there's 15 ways, there's 25 ways to get to the end result. And the same goes for visual art. So when we take them to a gallery, you know, we're introducing them to a piece of work in that way also, so they can truly meet that work of art. So it doesn't have to be just a moving musical theatre piece. It's the same for a 2D visual piece of art as well.
So how, and this may be a moot question, but how did you get the, I mean, you had to spend money on this. I mean, the school has to spend money to make this program work. How did you sell it to the leaders at the school? How did that come about? Because you said they didn't have it when you started, right? So I'm curious about how that process happened.
I think they'd had it in the past at some point, but not to the extent that where I've taken it. So I think that was before the prior leadership. But we have a very fabulous leader, Dr. Scott Kemple, is wonderful, visionary. And when I invited him into the classroom so he could see the kind of work that we were doing with the students. And then this is my first year as the aesthetic educational coordinator, because he saw the importance of this particular pedagogy. So we have, I've been here for 5 years, but this is my first year with aesthetic education being its own lesson, because it's really proven to be wonderful and the children benefit so much from it. Socially and emotionally, they like coming into my lesson, thankfully.
Yeah, that's great. So you are teaching, but are you also giving it to, or is I'm not quite even sure what I'm asking. Like, is it a class, or is it a part of your culture of the school, I guess, is what, you know, like other teachers, and or is this one piece of the curriculum? So how does it fit into everything that's going on there, I guess, is the question.
Right. Okay. Great question. So it is one class. So I see different grades various times a week. So 7th and 8th, I see them every day. Critical thinking is key for their age group.
Right.
And some of the younger children, slightly less. But everybody embraces it. It takes a lot of cooperation from the teachers, because when we go out on a field trip, it disrupts the whole school. I have wonderful colleagues who are all supportive of the aesthetic education program and see the value in it, and seeing how what benefit it has, and we all go and see a show together. So it really is a wonderful synergistic activity where us as a whole school team, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade, can go out and see a whole show together. So other teachers have seen it, so they might perhaps bring it into their lessons too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I remember as a child, now I'm 57, so I'm not young, but I remember there being discussions when, I don't know, 70s or 80s, who knows? I don't know the exact dates, but they were always talking about, we can't cut the arts. We can't cut the physical education. They're too important. And it's so true. I mean, there is the book piece of it and, you know, reading, writing and arithmetic and all of that. If you go back to my days, you know, but those pieces are just one piece of a very large puzzle. So the fact that you guys are doing this and embracing it and he has, that your leaders have shown that there's value in it, the kids are going to just, it's just amazing. It's a fantastic program. It sounds, I wish I'd had it. I wish I'd had it growing up. I played, I don't know, clarinet but the arts are so important and it's beautiful that you guys are doing that. So.
The nice thing is, it doesn't rely on a child knowing how to play an instrument.
Right.
It doesn't rely on them being able to read music. We do have some children that can do that, but of course not every child can. So lessons are incorporated in a way that we can just have students playing rhythms and beats. Nobody has to read music and be the perfect pianist. That's not what we're asking. That's not what it's about. It's working together as an ensemble or whatever it is. And I often joke and say, you know, when we have parents in, or if VIP day or whatever, I say that social emotional learning in my lesson is the most important lesson. Because it doesn't matter if you have an outstanding mathematical program or an outstanding English program. If your child has anxiety and cannot get through the school door each day or doesn't know how to keep a friend because they don't have those social skills or the social awareness, then it doesn't matter how good those academic programs are. You know, social emotional learning, and this is a fun way to incorporate social emotional learning into the school, really, it's fundamental. Those are the things that children, you know, need in today's society. So yeah. I often joke and say that it's the most important lesson in the school.
I agree with you. You know, it is. And music and arts is a different part of your brain. You're engaging, you know, go back to the speech therapist in me and the science of it and all of that. It is. It's absolutely, you're engaging a different part of your brain other than just the language sentence, the creativity and all of that and those together. And I remember also I have I was a homeschool mom for a while, and one of the homeschool mom's husband played, I can't remember, a horn. I don't remember which one. Oh, doggone it. Anyway, and they talked about how the symphony was very tight. And I was like, I had never heard that term before, but that's what you're talking about is that cooperation and being together and playing the music in such sync that you can't even tell that it's one whole piece. And I was like, that's impressive, you know, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about a little bit, not to that degree, but to be tight together, a tight knit community. It all kind of goes back to that idea of working together and loving on each other and, you know, all of those things that you're talking about. So I think it's amazing. I think it's a great way to do exactly what you're doing. So kudos to you guys. So
we love that the children get to use many senses. You know, we experience the world through our senses. So when you go and see a show, you know, you're listening to the music or listening to the actors talk, you're seeing the lights, you're looking at the props. You know, you're interacting with the audience around you. How do you be a good audience member when perhaps those around you aren't? You know, you're sitting in a theater full of hundreds of children. Are you going to be, you know, how are you going to be outstanding? How are you going to be a leader in that environment? So our children really do practice that. They come back and often say, that school behind us, they clapped at the wrong time. Like that school behind us, they were talking. They shouldn't be talking in those kind of environments. So, you know, it's not about judging others, but it's about knowing good practice, good habits, you know, for life. Good habits. When we go to the theater, we don't want to be clapping all the time, or we don't want to be talking when actors are talking. So it's just about cultivating that that mindfulness, the mindful way of interacting with the world and our peers.
And how many times have you felt a piece of music or show or a piece of art that has moved you emotionally, that's that emotional piece of it too, is, and I'm sure that exposing them to that gives some of these kids that, wow, that's like so powerful. And those things stay with you, you know.
They do, lifelong. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping that they remember this for years to come. I mean, our youngest members who participate at kindergarten, we do have a preschool here, but the programs are for kindergarten up because of, you know, having a preschooler sit through a 45-minute show might
be that's too much to ask a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, for sure, yeah.
But our kindergartners, they've gone to 5 different outings this academic year, you know, to the theatre, to the art gallery. They've gone to see 5 different shows. So we're really proud of the fact that we can, we have such a great community. And parents, too, because parents obviously have to buy in and agree for their children to go on these
trips. Of course, right, yeah, yeah, for
sure.
So
we have a great community here.
Yeah, and I'm sure that word of mouth is growing it as well. You know, when parents see the value, they're not quiet about it. And word of mouth is always going to be your best advertiser. Okay, I have one last question. I ask almost every, I've missed two now, but I ask this question, it's my last question for every guest. And it is, if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
Ooh, that is a wonderful question. Challenge in our school. I think it would be a funding question. Mm-hmm. We are a small independent school, and when everyone hears private school, they think, oh, everybody there is wealthy. But we take students who are on full scholarship or partial scholarship. And, you know, we have to do a lot of fundraising here. The tuition only covers 75%. So for me, I think I would love for us to have more staff, a little more staff. I feel like I wear many hats, as many people do in a small independent school. Yeah. And I love it, and I'm committed to it. And, you know, I love my job. But it's probably a fundraising, because, like I said, people often hear private school and think that money just rolls out of our pockets. But that's, you know, we work hard to fundraise.
Yeah, and you're conscious of where that money goes, right?
Absolutely. Of course, yeah. So investing into a program like this has been great. You know, we really see the benefit of it.
Yeah, obviously, it's evident. That's fantastic, and you guys are making a difference, and that's the point of this podcast, is to put that out there so people can see schools that are making a difference, whether it's a public school, private school, charter school. We do not care. We love all schools.
This program is in public schools too, but it is up to the individual teacher how far they want to take it. So it really depends how much work and effort the teacher is willing to put in. Yeah. So it is out there for public schools too.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for your time. This was a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about what you do and about Kalamazoo Country Day School?
So we are on social media, so you can find us on Facebook at Kalamazoo Country Day School. And, of course, we have a website, www.kalamazookountryday.org, so you can find us there too. My profile is on there, so you can email me or you call the school, and I'd be really happy to have a conversation or a Zoom or an email with anyone who has any questions or is interested in learning more about what I do.
Thank you, Emma. That is fantastic. And thanks for being on the Brighter Together podcast, because we really are brighter together.
Thank you, Janet. It's been really wonderful to speak with you today. Mm-hmm.